What do you call a fish with no eyes?
You don't need a parachute to go skydiving. You need a parachute to go skydiving twice.
Every zoo is a petting zoo if you work hard enough at it. Mm-hmm.
If you lose a homing pigeon, then it's just a pigeon.
Excellent. David went to Prague and lost his ID. Now he's just Dov.
One-liners, I guess.
Yep.
This is the witty patter before the podcast starts.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, we may as well count down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Wayne Youngblood with Regency Superior Auctions, and you're listening to Stamp Show Here Today.
It's a descendant. It's a descendant.
Welcome to Stamp Show Here Today, podcast number 26. I'm sitting here with Scott, Cash, Lloyd, and Jeff, and I'm your host, Jessica. You can find us on Facebook at Stamp Show Today and on Twitter at Stamp Show HT. Tell your friends they can find us on iTunes, Podbay, and Stitcher. Let's talk about stamps. So this week we'll be talking about click and ship, hashtag stamp stories, letter writing month, and our expert topic of the week is official stamps, or you might know them as government stamps.
Wow, that sounds great. Great show. I think I'll listen to the whole thing this time.
So stamp news. Kaz dropped a disturbing email on my desk that stamps can no longer be used in conjunction with click and ship packages. So what all is a click and ship package to begin with?
Well, I'm sure that probably other people use it, but it's mostly for eBay. Or I guess eBay is a predominant user of it. And what it is you click on a little button. It comes up, accesses the UPS or USPS website. You print off a label. You stick it on the package. It gives eBay proof that you shipped it. And so that way they can track when it shipped, what date, you know, confirm that it shipped, that you're not ripping the people's money off, stuff like that. Well, whenever I did it, you always just hit the button and it takes the money out of the PayPal account. And I always just put the label on. Turns out you can not put a little check mark in that box, print the label off, and put your own stamps on it. And I never knew this. And now that I learned it, you can't do it anymore.
Oh.
So I got this irate email from Stanley, and we're going to start a new section called What Did Stanley Rant About This Time? Because he sent me just a glaring email that just, it was very, very emotional.
For clarification, that is Stanley Piller.
Stanley, well, should we mention his last name? I mean, maybe they
don't
like his
rant.
He's
been on the show before.
That's true.
And we have heard him rant about his favorite topics.
That is true, which is pretty much everything. Stanley, we love you. But you do rant a lot. Anyway, so...
Even when you're not ranting, sometimes you sound like it. Just it's your voice.
Hey, Stanley, how are you doing at the show today? Oh, terrible. This hurts, and I had this problem, and... Oh, okay, well, have a nice day.
You can edit that out.
I will.
Yeah, edit that out. No, don't edit that out. We'll just apologize. I'll do Cash's corrections next time. I'll apologize next week. Anyway, so you used to be able to... So eBay charges like... Or the post office charges for something that would normally cost 49 cents, you know, to put it on an envelope. They charge like in the $1.75 range or $1.71 or something like that. So I never personally used it unless it was something that was expensive. He did it all the time because he sells more expensive stuff in $1.71 versus 49 cents, you know, plus the tracking and everything else is worth it to him. So he'd put $1.71 a postage on it. Now he can't. He has to actually pay $1.71, and he's saying that he's not going to give free shipping anymore for his stuff. It's going to destroy the ability to use all this postage. I mean, I understand where he's coming from because he probably does have a lot of postage he was using. But, you know, if you want to save money, you know, 49 cents and tell eBay to go screw themselves like I do.
Jessica has a little bit of a workaround for it when she ships stuff. We used to use that function, but then when we started being able to get postage much cheaper, she switched over. She ordered a stack of... what are they called?
Tracking numbers.
Tracking numbers. They'll give you, they'll send you a stack of tracking numbers with the barcodes. So she sells something. She handwrites the address on there, slaps one of their own tracking labels on it, and puts stamps on it anyway. And then you can take that tracking number from the sticker and input it manually into eBay, and it still shows that it shipped, and the buyer can still follow the package.
Well, I just use my phone. I don't even go on the computer. It has a built-in option to scan in the label.
That costs extra, though, doesn't it? Cost like...
Yeah,
like,
you still have to pay for
like 45 cents or something
like
that.
It's like a dollar something, $1.05.
We mail out in the smaller stay flats that just holds the size of a certificate. And what's the amount, Jessica? You know the exact
amount.
$337 for that. But that's in a hard, extremely rigid package, so...
Which I have a complaint with the post office. I just got another letter back. I used stamps from the press sheet, non-die cut, and I had another letter returned. We do not recognize these stamps. Post office, please start recognizing your own stamps.
At first it was funny, and now it's just getting kind of annoying.
It is annoying, yeah. I mean, we're going to do a mailing this afternoon, and I actually have a note saying, before you return these, call the Kansas City Philatelic window and ask them if these are real stamps. Here's the information attached. And so hopefully, before they return it, they'll look at this and say, okay, fine. What I hope is they're going to look at it and say, I'm a post office employee. Why am I bothering with this? I want to go to lunch, and they'll just let them go through. If they really are like, oh, I'm dedicated to the post office, I need to check this out, then they'll check it out and see that they still should let it go through. But either way, I just want my mail to go through.
I was thinking about that, actually, and could it have anything to do with just being automatically kicked out by a computer?
No, it's by the people, because they actually will pen cancel the stamp, and they'll write underneath it, not postage.
Well, I mean, that they're just blindly following whatever the computer tells them to do, kind of thing.
No, I don't. Because it's still.
Think so?
The ones that they noticed were the Johnny Cash stamp, because it's black and it has no perforations. It's just going to be a little black square piece of paper in the corner. And, you know, if I put something through that said permit number 12867, Santa Ana, they'd ignore it and I'd be totally ripping them off. But instead, I'm actually using their stamp and they're going, wait, what is this guy doing?
Okay, so hashtag stamp stories. We are halfway through April, which means we're halfway through letter writing month. The only letters I get in my mailbox anymore are demands for money in the form of bills, and the occasional ad from stamp dealers. I think a letter would brighten anyone's day. It's really quite easy. Instead of sending an email, Facebook, tweeting, or pinning, get a piece of paper and write that information down. Maybe even decorate it and kindly put a stamp and address and send it on its way. Use the For Me to Use stamp and the accompanying stickers to draw the attention to the fact that it is not a bill. Then you can tweet about it. Hashtag National Letter Writing Month, hashtag Stamp Stories, or hashtag Write _ on.
Oh, you know, I got a letter last week. Of course, it was from my mom. It was my birthday, but it had a stamp on it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Scott. Happy birthday to you.
So the For Me to You stamp series, it actually has stickers in the selvage with cute little sayings on them and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The stories that must be told.
So updates, Cash's corrections.
Well, first of all, I got zero complaints about insulting Maya Angelou. However, I got several people saying I should apologize to people who I might have offended by offending Maya Angelou. So to you people, I am very sorry if I have insulted you with my opinions on Maya Angelou.
Huh? Wait, what?
Hey, I'm not doing anything else. That's it. That's it. That's it. Oh. To Winnie Lawrence out there, 30th wedding anniversary. She's been married 30 times. Congratulations. And on a serious note, I just was reading the APS magazine, and Bill Amanette passed away. And for those of you who don't know who Bill Amanette was, he was a super guy, did a lot with U.S. number 10s and 11s, basically inherited the position when Chase died. And one of the really great stamp collectors, he will be missed.
For those of you who don't know U.S. stamps, Dr. Carol Chase was one of the original platers of the 3-cent Washington, 1851, and he defined a lot of the colors and discovered all of the plate markings and things like that.
That's fixable.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so Oprah tweeted to the world that she purchased 100 Maya Angelou Forever stamps. This probably makes
her... Hold on, 100?
Yeah, 100.
100.
100. What is that, 2 sheets?
5 sheets.
5 sheets. Ooh,
49 five. Bucks. She'll never see again.
Yeah.
So which probably makes her a new stamp collector. And her army of followers were probably fully obligated to purchase 100 also. The USPS will not stop producing the error stamp. The stamp collectors seem to tire of the issue, but think that anytime larger news agencies cover anything stamp-related, I would count it as a positive for the hobby. And I might suggest that she joins Esper to learn more about stamp collecting.
Well, why don't we have our people call Oprah's people and invite her on the podcast here?
I'm sure she'll be happy to fly down on her personal jet
we can
and
drive
take a helicopter to our rooftop.
We can drive to Montecito.
I suppose.
Okay, so listener questions. Where can I learn about stamp collecting in a fun way? So I found a blog written by an anonymous woman based in Australia, which
features... Learn about stamp collecting in a fun way wouldn't, like, answer number one be listen to this podcast?
Yes.
It's one way.
Okay, so the second way...
moving on.
She's an energetic take on stamp collecting with colorful language, and I found this quote on her blog from a recent episode of The Simpsons. It's entitled Homer the Vigilante. So, Jeff, you want to enact that for me?
Oh, thanks. So at some point, the Simpsons family has been robbed, and Bart says, horrified, "The burglar even took my stamp collection." Lisa says, amused, "You had a stamp collection?" The entire family laughs at Bart, and then the phone rings. Bart answers it. Nelson's on the other end. "Stamp collection? Ha ha."
That's why I had Jeff do it. So the author has quite a lot of fun with the hobby, and a recent post even suggests a new Forever Stamp design to accompany their already existing Johnny Cash stamp, taken from a famous photo during a rehearsal of the legendary Folsom Prison concert. Her design states that the USPS missed a golden sales opportunity with this one. Who wouldn't want to stick that on a letter to the taxman?
Now you have to describe the image. It's Johnny Cash giving the finger to the camera.
She did an excellent job designing this. She did it herself. It's a very similar background to the already existing Johnny Cash stamp. The picture is an iconic picture of him flipping off the camera.
I'm holding the picture up to the microphone.
Everybody see it? Okay.
She brings us some great points in her manifesto. Has it come to pass that the cool young people are wearing gingham dresses and crocheting and trimming their beards with scrimshaw knives while remaining oblivious to the joys of the wonderful old-school world of philately? Philately? You mean stamp collecting? Psst. Stamp collecting is for children and idiots. Let the punk... philatelists lead you to where the grown-ups live, where murderers and millionaires collect and connive, where countries go to war over the design of a postage stamp, where ambition, ego, and chance, discoveries of an old envelope between the pages of a secondhand book can bring you instant fortune to imbeciles. It's a world where artists passionate about their work create tiny works of art, only to see them bought and immediately dispatched by unthinking humans like you. Well, it's time to start thinking, because there's a war raging, and you didn't even realize that you're the bad guy. Anyway, your grandpa will die soon, and if you've read this far, then you're probably planning to leg it with his stamp album. So what IFL science has done for quantum physics, a punk philosopher intends to do for the 1930s Zeppelin male. Just look at the Art Deco majesty of that. Come to mama. So that's her manifesto. And I also found an article on Tired. Holy Geekgasm, Batman Nerd Worlds Collide, Superman, Spider-Man, USPS.
Cool.
Which took a look at superhero stamps through the years.
I really like this lady, and I hope we can get her on our podcast at some point. She's from Australia, and she said she's chosen to remain anonymous.
Ooh.
She's hinted that she might be related to the industry somehow. So she doesn't want to offend people.
What'd she do, marry a stamp press?
Who knows? But she just has a really cool outlook on stamps and stamp collecting in general.
Well, we have to like fade her voice or something. You know, she'll be talking like at the end of into a barrel or something like that.
A voice distorter.
Voice disorder, yeah. Have her talk over a comb with tissue paper over it or something.
Yeah, so her blog was actually featured by WordPress itself as a good blog to read. So she's a good writer. So our expert topic of the week is official stamps or government stamps, which actually came into production because everyone was abusing the free franking right to defraud, I guess.
No, it wasn't defrauding it. Up until in the United States, and it's probably that way in other countries, but definitely the United States in the 1880s, as a payback for being a good political sponsor or a good donor or a good whatever, they would make you a postmaster. And you'd be able to take, you know, some of the money from each stamp. And my contention is that the reason why we had a 3-cent rate instead of a 2-cent rate is that extra penny went to pay off political officials. If we didn't have to pay the postmasters, you know, if they weren't, I won't call it corruption because that word applies too perfectly. So I want to find something. But the, you know, it basically probably half a cent to a cent off of each letter really went to pay the postmaster. Well, in addition to getting the cash, they also got to send their mail for free. And that was a bit of a problem sometimes when you let all your friends and businesses and everything do it also. One of the reasons why Benjamin Franklin became the postmaster is because he could ship his newspapers throughout all 13 colonies very quickly, very easily, and very inexpensively. And his competitors had to bring their newspapers to Benjamin Franklin and say, here, please mail these for us. And he'd say, of course, I'll get right on that.
Huh. For a fee.
You mean to tell?
Pay postage.
Well, one of the great things about the American Revolution is the fact that news traveled throughout all the 13 colonies. So it was a good thing, but it was a good thing that, you know, was based kind of in corruption.
You mean to tell me Honorable Benjamin Franklin was a corrupt politician?
Benjamin Franklin was the coolest founding father of all of them, bar none.
Which does not answer the question of his corruption.
Yeah. My favorite story is that this is a time period when you had master, apprentice, journeyman. Not in that order, obviously. He was hired as an apprentice. He rebelled against the master. Instead, just said, screw you, I'm opening up my own print shop. His master came after him and had the law on his side to basically take him back as a slave and work for him. And through some deal, Benjamin Franklin did not have to go back to his master. But there he was a rebel before his time.
Interesting.
He was a cool guy. Anybody who wants to hear some really good stories, look up some stories on Benjamin Franklin. He has quite a few of them, none of which are he flew a kite during a storm with a key tied to it. As a matter of fact, he had his assistant do it because he was afraid he'd get struck by lightning.
Oops.
And he did not discover lightning. He discovered that He did not discover lightning. He did not discover electricity. He discovered that lightning was electricity. That's what he did.
So you talked about free franking being abused. Free franking was a kind of an international concept. What was the supposed to be the true innocent nature? How was that supposed to work? What was it for?
Well, free franking was to allow politicians and political favors to use the mail, basically to give them something for free in return for their support, political support, and things like that. But
Original use was, I need to get a purchase order to the president. Why do I have to pay for it? And so, you know, you sign it, you say, hey, I'm with the purchasing office here, take this to the president. Later on, what it was is, while you're delivering this, I have a Christmas card for my girlfriend and another Christmas card for my wife. Can you deliver those also?
And out of this free franking abuse grew official mail stamps. And this allowed the accountability for how much mail was being mailed for those, how much postage was being given away. And it allowed the post office to be able to account for that and say, you're abusing that privilege. You're sending $3,000 worth of stuff a month, and this guy's sending 38 cents worth of stuff.
Well, in Britain, what it was is a little different is what they did. They were able to budget for it. So they'd say, you get $3,000 worth of postage. Here's a bunch of one penny stamps. We don't care what you use them for. But if you use 3,001, then you're in trouble.
So is that why, at least for the U.S., there's so many different department stamps? It sounds like they would have them accountable, and then would they charge the department that used it?
Yes.
Well, they didn't charge the department. They budgeted it into the department.
So this department has this many budgeted.
This department has a $5,000 postage bill. This department has a $25,000. You know, Department of Treasury sent letters everywhere. So, you know, you couldn't.
So did the Department of Agriculture.
Yeah.
Well, Agriculture, Interior, Justice, Navy, Post Office, Treasurer, and War. Those are the ones
state
that had their
and
own.
And Executive.
State and Executive.
The branches.
The branches of the state?
Yeah, state, the executive of the branch.
The branches of the government.
Yeah.
Oh.
They all had their own special stamps and official business, too.
Yeah, Department of Interior and Exterior.
Agriculture's exterior. How about that?
Agriculture's interior as well.
Well, that's my favorite department. Department of the Bureau of Land Management is doing a great job. I look outside. I go, the land is still there. Excellent job.
And it's managed to stay dry in Southern California.
So there's actually penalties involved for using it for not official use, like to your girlfriend or wife.
Well,
if you get caught.
Yes, they exist, but how often are they enforced?
Well, they have prisons built for people who are, you know, there are people serving 20, 30-year terms for, you know, sending. No, they had, Lloyd will back this up. There was a thing when we were in Long Beach where a person was using the official mail to mail his regular stuff, and he mailed like a letter to his girlfriend and his mother. And they said, well, you're using this for personal reasons. To go, no, they're voting for me. And he got off. It's like, what the hell is that? So, you know, I doubt that there's anybody in prison serving for using.
They usually just fine you for it. They don't throw you in prison for it.
Yeah, well,
I would love to see how many
people
actually were charged.
That $300 fine was established a long time ago. That's
1879.
Yeah, it has not been increased since they established it.
Oh yeah.
So back then, that amount meant something.
$300 was a lot of money back then. $300.
That's a house almost.
Yeah. What?
That's getting close.
Well, in the 1880s.
1880s.
Well, I know at the turn of the century, a stove would cost $7.
In the 1880s, a person, a good factory job, paid you $4 a week.
Wow.
a normal factoring job gave you $2 a week.
Wow.
I'll tell you, when I visited China in the mid-1990s, the average household income for the entire year was about $450.
Yeah.
And this is survivable? Wow.
Oh, we gave a guy a $1 tip for taking his picture, and he, like, ran home. I'm done. No, there's a lot of official stamps for all the countries, and I'm sure every single country has its own way that they were accounting or whatever. But generally speaking, every official mail stamp is so that officials can communicate with each other.
And with the public.
And with the public. And it is in a way that it can be monitored so that they don't use it for personal purposes.
And this is a case where used ones are worth more than mint ones?
Sometimes.
It varies. It's probably more like 50-50. Like in Canada, the official mail stamps are much scarcer used than unused, even though it's not reflected in the catalog values.
Well, a lot of times official mail was sent between departments and across the country to government agencies. And so those stamps were never really got into collectors' hands as much. Whereas here, a lot of the like the agriculture stamps would go to farmers that were reporting on different crops and things like that. And
I got some corn.
Yeah. And
I got a fish. You want to trade? And, sure, put it in the mail. Put a stamp on it.
The Department of State, they mailed out all the passports.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, things like that. They go out to the general public. So some of those stamps do end up in private citizens' hands.
One of the modern rarities, and it shows sort of how people treat you as savings bonds, is they had a cover, I forget what the number is, was issued in like 1992 or 3, and it was an envelope, a postal stationery. And it was only used by the department that returned bonds when you redeemed them, like your e-bond.
Mm-hmm.
And they're incredibly rare. They're like $125, $150 for a used one, and mint ones don't exist. And you sit there and go, wow, well, A, that's cool. And B, I guess not too many people are buying U.S. savings bonds anymore.
I guess not.
Huh. So some of them used overprints over regular stamps. Let's see, some other countries that have used them are Australia, Canada, New South Wales, New Zealand, and Niue. Is that how you say that?
Niue.
N-I-U-E.
N-I-U-E.
It's a worldwide.
Niue.
Oh, Niue. Okay. It's a worldwide endeavor, I guess. Anyone with the government probably has government issued stamps of some kind.
If you look in Stanley Gibbons, there's an extensive section on official overprints of South Australia, which they do not price because they're quite scarce. And they have things like a LI for Lunatic Asylum, and there's one for Evaluator of Runs, which I have no idea what it is, or Criminal Department.
The Evaluator of Runs, that's the guy who goes around surveying people hit with diarrhea.
Yeah. We can edit that
out,
right?
It's Australia. They probably have, you know, contests after closing time.
Yeah.
Evaluator of Runs. Now I have to learn what that is.
And the first use was in Great Britain, of course. They put VR on their official postage stamps in 1840.
That particular stamp was never officially used. But if you want to see what it looks like a few years ago in the VCR days, Gary Berghoff, who played Radar O'Reilly on the MASH TV show, came out with a VCR tape of how to collect stamps. And when they mentioned that the very first stamp ever used was the Penny Black, what they actually pull out of the rack and show you is an 01.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Which wasn't obviously the first stamp.
Right. I actually think I have that videotape at home.
Check it out. It's probably on YouTube.
Everything's by on now. YouTube.
Mm-hmm. By now.
Yeah.
So it's just artwork. They never actually used it. They thought about using it.
Well, it probably was a good idea at the time.
And they said, printed some up, and some are known used, and they are available unused.
Available?
Available, yes. I'm not from around here. And they're around.
So why is it that almost all of them seem to command a pretty decent price in the older ones?
Well, that's because they're less common.
They were issued before the days of stamp collecting.
So less common, but sought after.
Yeah, but based on their issuing, they are far less valuable than they would otherwise be. If you had a stamp where, 5,000 of 5,000 existed, and let's say if it was a normal stamp, you'd have a $10,000 stamp, an official may only be $1,000. There just isn't the demand pushing the value of officials up. I mean, in some countries, maybe there is. I mean, I don't collect, Serbia and stuff like that. And maybe, somebody's going to write in and say, I collect Austria and you are totally wrong. The Bosnian issue of 1819 is just skyrocketing in price. And I know there wasn't a stamp issue in 1819, so please don't write me.
So let's explain some of the weird overprints we see out there.
Yes. And the perfins.
Yes.
Weirder than valuator of runs.
And believe it or not, they do get faked.
Oh, the Australian ones? Yeah. Big time.
Not only
they
the
don't
Australians
even expertise them anymore.
Not only the Australian ones, I've seen fake overprints and perfins on Canadian stamps as well.
Oh, good grief.
For their official stamps.
Yeah, and that's a relatively cheap stamp, the OHMS.
It's not necessarily a cheap stamp, especially in used condition.
Yeah, but they fake the overprint, and if you have a real one next to a fake one, it's pretty obvious.
Which is why you should always have your stamps certified by experts.
Yep.
Yeah, well.
Okay, ready to open our inverted, uninverted Jenny sheet, hopefully?
Got it right here. I feel lucky here. And it is
empty.
Where the heck is it?
Oh, there
it is.
Crap.
There it is. It's normal. Got lost there in the package.
Okay, you can email us at stampshowtoday@gmail.com, Twitter at stampshowht, Facebook, stampshowtoday, and our website, www.stampshowtoday.com, with your questions and comments. You can now leave us questions and comments in a Google Voice answer machine anytime at 1-949-873-4298. There's also a link to our Google Voice on our website so you can make the call from your computer. And on that note, keep collecting.
I'm Liz Heisey with Women Exhibitors, talking on Stamp Show Here Today.
This episode of Stamp Show Here Today is brought to you by the Philatelic Book of Secrets, the book that teaches you about repurfs, regums, color varieties, and much more. Get yours for $10 at www.philatelicsecrets.com today.